Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
And you know, I want to talk about continuing our series, Better Than Expected. Better Than Expected. And you know, my wife talked about earlier having a superpower, and I believe a powerful superpower that every disciple needs to grow in is honesty. Better than expected when honest. You know, as you think about faith, faith is not about feelings. It's not about feelings. What we believe in our relationship with God has got to be based on facts. And we're going to look at some facts today. And I want to see this to take a spiritual inventory as to where we are in our walk with God. And I got to be honest with you. Sometimes in my walk with God, it is euphoric. Pray about something, blessings are flowing, and it is so exciting. And it's like you're on this mountain. It's like going to a great retreat or going to a great seminar or hanging out, having an incredible discipling time with brothers or sisters or going on a great double date. And you feel like, man, this is amazing. And witnessing miracles. This is incredible what God is doing. And then there are times when we have to come down off the mountain and we are in the valley. And sometimes in those valleys, we are engaged in spiritual battle. So we're going to pick it up in Mark chapter 9, and we're going to look at a story here about the demon-possessed boy. It says, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then one in the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashing his teeth, becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples, but they could not drive it out. Now we're going to go back and break this down. We're going to look at what's going on. Jesus had just been on a mountaintop retreat with Peter, James, and John. While they were there, Jesus was transfigured. Moses and Elijah showed up, and that was a spiritual, euphoric retreat on the mountain. And as they came down, Jesus said, shh, I want you to keep this confidential. Don't tell anybody about this until the right time. And yet when they get down the mountain and they are there with the disciples, they see Jesus is walking up. The people see Jesus and they go running up to him. And Jesus noticed that the scribes are debating with his disciples. So Jesus says, what's going on? What are you debating? And really what happened is the man had brought his son to the disciples and they could not drive out the demon. And the scribes were starting to get critical. Criticism is a tool from Satan. Now we can critique, but having a critical spirit can be a tool from Satan. See, the scribes were disputing with the disciples when in reality, why didn't they help? It's reasonable to assume that scribes criticized the disciples for their inability to help the demon-possessed boy. One wonders, why did these same scribes, instead of embarrassing the chest-fallen disciples before the crowd, did not set about exorcising the demon themselves and helping the disciples out? And you know, going back to that earlier reference with Jesus on the mountain, you know what Peter say, Lord, can we put up three shelters so that y'all can be comfortable up here? Because basically I think what Peter was saying is, can we just stay up here on the mountain? We'll build a little tabernacle. You and your boys can be at peace and we can enjoy this amazing fellowship. Because Peter, he didn't want to come down and get back involved in the battle, get back involved in the strife. And, you know, sometimes we can feel that way. Like I say, we can have these exciting, spiritual, euphoric moments, and then it is fleeting. You know, what I've noticed, I've studied the Bible with a lot of men, and I've noticed young Christians, when they're trying to do God's will, somebody comes along and criticizes. You're not really a Christian. Those people, what are they telling you? You don't have to do what the Bible says. Why you think you're better than us? And you know, that criticalness, it can erode at faith, especially as you're building your faith or you have just started walking in the light. And sometimes religious people can be the most negative. And, you know, I have to look at my own heart and I have to ask myself, why? Why is it those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus can be the most difficult with other followers of Jesus? And in my life, I have to admit there are times I've been competitive. I wanted to be the one who had the more knowledge, the more success. I was competitive. Or there was some jealousy. Why is he getting to do this? And I'm not getting to do that. And, you know, it's really just a part of our culture as Americans to fixate on what's not right. Just to fixate. You didn't do that right. You didn't say that right. You didn't do this here. And to go on and on and on versus the solution. How can I help? How can I help? Obviously, this was a difficult situation for the disciples, and they were feeling defeated. And whenever we are feeling those feelings of defeat, it comes from Satan. The brothers were trying to do good. They were trying to make a difference. And I don't know how much their own pride or ego got in the way, because they were encountering a spiritual force that was more powerful than their faith. And let me tell you this. If we are striving to be like Jesus, who is striving to walk in the light, we will encounter those spiritual forces that will be beyond us. See, they could not cast out this particular demon, because there was a thinking in the Jewish religion that you needed to know the demon's name to cast it out. So you would notice Jesus asked at one point in time, "What is your name?" And the demon responded, "Legion, for we are many." And that's what the Jews thought. If you knew the name, then you could cast it out. But here's a boy that's mute. He can't talk. So what are they going to do? This is a tough situation. You know, when you look over in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about the spiritual battle. And apparently there are demons that are stronger. There are demons that are more intimidating. There are demons that are more stubborn than other demons. If you look over in Daniel chapter 10, in verse 12 and 13, Daniel, a powerful prophet of God. And Daniel had been praying, and Daniel had been fasting, and Daniel had been petitioning God. And in verse 12, then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel." Now, this is an angel who finally showed up to hand deliver God's answer to Daniel. "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. But the prince of Persia, the Persian kingdom, resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the prince of Persia." So here, this angel was dispatched from heaven to deliver a response to the prophet Daniel. Day one, Daniel praying. Day two. Day five. Day 10. Day 15. 21 days. And notice what the angel said. "Since the first day, your prayer was answered on the first day, but I was detained." That spiritual battle doesn't just encompass us. It encompasses the heavens. There are demons right now fighting with angels. Some of us are praying about stuff, petitioning God, begging God, and the prayer may have already been answered. but those demons are standing in the way. You know, the other day I was lecturing last day of class, and we were having some good conversations with my young adults. And you know what's really deep? Many of them don't even profess to be followers of Christ, but they know wrong from right. And we're just sitting there talking, and as they were talking, they realized the demons are attacking. The demons are attacking our children, trying to destroy their faith. There's very few opportunities anymore for children just to be innocent and pure. The young men were telling me, say, Professor, everything's online. At me, you look in your phone, you can just be looking at YouTube, you can look at Instagram, you can look at TikTok, and something random will pop up. Everything is online. And then the young man went on to tell me, say, man, porn is bad. It's all over the place. It's so accessible. And they went on to explain what young women are doing now to get men to watch them as they do different sexual acts. And what's deep about it, one of my students pulled me aside and told me he's trying to help his friends because he has friends. They're just caught up. They're captive. They're spending a lot of money to feed their lust. We are in a spiritual battle. It's tough. It's challenging. And I don't know about you, but there, like I say, there are times I have felt it's like, Lord God, please intervene. Please. Because the battle is so intense. So this is what was going on. And I love how Jesus dealt with it. Because I want us to understand this. Jesus is stronger than Satan. Jesus is stronger than Satan. God is going to win. We are in a battle right now, but God is going to win the war. You know, in a war, not every side wins every battle. God is going to win the war. Jesus is stronger than Satan. So, of course, Jesus had the conversation with the scribes and he was talking to his disciples. He asked them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Bring the boy to me. Then they brought him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground, wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has he been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into fire, into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. Immediately the boy's father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him, never enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many people say he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifting him up, and he arose. Now, this is powerful. Let's unpack this a little bit. So Jesus is talking to the scribes and addressing the crowd. O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Jesus says, I got this. I got this. Bring him to me. At what point are you going to believe that I am God in the flesh? They brought him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit knew who Jesus was. Because it says, as soon as it saw Jesus, it convulsed the boy. It made him fall on the ground. He was foaming at the mouth. And as the boy is rolling around, Jesus is like, how long has he been like that? Jesus wasn't flustered. Jesus was like, oh my God, we got to do something. Jesus was like, how long he's been like? He's having a conversation with the Father. From childhood, it's often throwing him both fire and water to destroy him. We got to be careful what we let into our hearts and minds. Some of us are playing with demons. We got to be careful. We don't need to open that door to evil spirits. If you are in a situation and you know it's wrong, or you're in a situation and you feel the darkness, I don't know about you, but have you ever felt, oh, this is dark. Something's off about this. Something don't feel right. If you're ever in that situation, run. Get out of there. Get away from it. Because the demons only want to follow their father, Satan, who came to steal, kill, and destroy. And exactly what this father said from childhood, it has often thrown him in the fire and the water to destroy him. And let me tell you this, there are demons. It's not just people in the world, but there are demons that just want to kill and destroy our children. There are demons that want to destroy young adult lives even before they get their lives started. We are in a spiritual battle. And the father said, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible for him who believes. Immediately the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. But you know what his superpower was? He was honest. There's a part of my heart that just doesn't believe. There's a part of me, I don't want to have expectation, anticipation that this will possibly work, because I really don't want to be disappointed again. I can relate to that. I'm sure many of you can relate to that. You get your hopes built up, you're really excited, and boom, it doesn't come through. See, the father had heard about Jesus. He went to find Jesus. Jesus was on a retreat. There were the disciples. He said, well, they hang out with Jesus. I'll let them do it. And they couldn't do it. And I believe that's why the father was in tears. Lord, I tried. I came here. I am faithful. I believe. And yet there's a part of me that doesn't want to believe. Help my unbelief. And there are times in our relationship with God, when we pray, we got to be gut level honest. God, help my unbelief. I really don't believe my finances can get better. I really don't believe my marriage is going to get better. I don't believe that the children are going to change. I don't believe. I'm faithful, but I don't believe. Help my unbelief. And what did Jesus do? He rebuked that evil spirit, and it came out of him. Let's talk about unbelief, because I think sometimes we misunderstand what, in this particular passage, what the Bible is saying about unbelief. The man's unbelief was not rebellion against or rejection of God's promise. He did not deny God's promise. He desired it. However, it just seemed too good to be true. I think sometimes when we say we struggle, we don't want to be honest and say we struggle with unbelief because it's not Christian, it's not spiritual. And we know the scriptures, if I have faith as, you know, as small as a mustard seed, my faith can move mountains. So we know we are supposed to have faith, but because the man was honest, it was better than expected. It was better than expected. Even when the demon was showing out, trying his best to say, I claim this soul, Jesus said, you got to go. And they said, oh, no, the boy died. Jesus just lifted him up. Jesus had the victory that day. I want us to get in the habit in our prayer life to be honest with God. You know the areas of your life where it's been difficult. You know the challenges that you are facing, that you're wrestling with. Now, some of us, we are having that mountaintop experience. And trust me, don't go looking for problems because they're coming. Enjoy your spiritual, euphoric mountaintop experience. I'm letting you know now, as a man who's done this a long time, you can't stay on the mountain. You have to go into the valley. There are those of us, we've been in that valley. We've been in that valley for a while. And we're like, Lord, is there anything else other than the valley? Will I ever get out of the valley? I want you to remember Daniel, because Daniel was praying. His prayer was answered on the first day, but it took time because of the spiritual battle. You know, I want to close out with this. When they went into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast it out? See, because earlier, Jesus had given them the authority over demons. And they had been casting out demons. But then they encountered a demon that they felt was stronger than them. And in their minds, it was true. And you know what Jesus said? This kind come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. What does that mean? This can only come out by prayer and fasting? It simply means there are situations that you and I will go into where we will have to exercise total dependence on God. We can't think our way out of it. We can't buy our way out of it. We can't negotiate our way out of it. We are simply dependent on God. And that's what fasting is about. Taking that time out to be dependent that God will give us what we need. That's what prayer is about. God, I've done all I can do. I've said all I can do. I have maneuvered all I can maneuver. It's on you. And that's a hard place to get. I don't know about you, but it's hard. When you are self-sufficient and you're independent, and we're trained to be that way, stand on our own two feet, take care of ourselves. And yes, but when it comes to spiritual things, we got to learn to be dependent on God. Because let me tell you, that man walked away and it was better than he expected. His faith in Jesus multiplied in that moment. He walked away from that experience and he could tell people, when you're at your wit's end, when there's nothing else and when you're even struggling in your faith, Jesus is faithful. As we take communion right now, I want us to think about that. I want us to really reflect on who it is that we serve. And as we take that bread that represents the body that was broken, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed, I want us to reflect on who it is that we truly serve. And I don't want to make light of anyone's situation. There are some of us, we are going through it. Life is intense. But I want you to remember, Jesus is stronger than the devil. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we come before you right now, God, and we are so grateful and thankful for this opportunity to look in your word. And God, I pray for us. It's tough. It is challenging at times. In my faith, it has been difficult. Thank you for those times of mountaintop glorious experiences, God. Thank you for those times when it was evident that you made the miracles visual, dear God. And yet, God, give me the faith, the courage, the humility to be honest when my heart just doesn't believe that it's going to change. But thank you again for Jesus. Thank you, God, that he set the example. He was totally dependent upon you, even to the point of death. And he was resurrected, dear God, and that's why we celebrate his life. The bread that represents the body that was broken, the fruit of the vine that represents the blood that was shed. And we ask these prayers in your son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.